exam, you finished to catch.
No, it's
one more.
Seven.
That's how they put our exams. Every time we finish one, a new one comes.
What a fucking big deal.
Okay, what I'm going to talk, because I'm busy with the workshop, I'll be taking half
of the 10 minutes. 304,
the course 311, 304, both are going parallel. Okay. Till now, in 304, you have a mix of lectures. Literature review, search, okay, study designs, and this. From now onwards, whatever the remaining sessions you have, what you're going to have is a completely relates to biostatistics. And as we discussed before, you're going to have two exams. That is after first semester, which is in the January second week, you're going to have exam, which we covered topics till now, and what I'm going to take the next 3 or 4 topics. Then after that, in the second term, the remaining topics of biostat you'll be having in the middle of second semester. Okay? How far your research? I have one group here. I know the position, the status of my research group. What about others?
Right now, developing the research idea and the
still idea?
Literature review.
You do not start with some
objectives.
No, you should start. Now, the point is, why I'm asking earlier, leave of my group and others is, what we teach here, you have to understand and apply in your data set. The data collection, developing the instrument, then using these techniques, what I'm going to discuss, I mean, the analysis. If you have any problems, I mean, in the large group here, then you can discuss in the small groups with the faculty members. So that's the idea to have. You studied already statistics in your first year. Why we are going to have again here? Because you had to apply. There you might have studied the formulas, the mathematics, the exercise, the problems, all might have got, I mean, A+, I mean, more than 80%, 90%, if I'm right. But here what we are doing, we are making you to apply it. Apply in real sense. That is, you are collecting data for your project, you are compiling, you are doing analysis, and you are writing a report. So that's the idea. Okay, what I'm going to talk a little bit about the background of this subject, why as a medical graduate student you must know this subject, which is not your discipline. Then the difference between the definitions of statistics and biostatistics, then later the concepts, the type of the data. Of course, I may not finish all these points, so I will come, I mean, in the middle, I will try, inshallah. So what is the definition of statistics? General subject statistics. You all know that, I mean, statistics relates to any phenomena. If you want to do any activity, you have to collect the data, you have to summarize it, you have to organize it in forms of tables, graphs, then you have to make the inference so that at the end you have to make, I mean, proper conclusions. So it is one of the science subject. Statistics also, like mathematics, I mean, other subjects, which will be used in conducting studies to collect, organize, summarize, analyze, present and interpret and draw the conclusions, I mean, from the data. So if you elaborate, collecting data from your surveys, study designs or the hospital data sets, that is the medical records, anything, then you characterizing the data, that is you organize, classify, then summarize. Then you present it in the terms of, I mean, tables and charts and statements. Then you make the interpretation. All these exercises, what for? Finally, you have to make some valid conclusions, which will be useful for decision-making process. That's very important. If you do something wrong here in the methodology and data collection and analysis, what's going to happen here?
Wrong decision.
It's a nonsense. It's a nonsense, I mean, it doesn't make any sense. So that's why we give more importance, I mean, to the methodology, to the quality of the data, then the type of the analysis, then how you make the interpretation. You have to make your numbers are meant to speak in your clinical language, that what your objective you are looking for, what your hypothesis, I mean for your research question you are looking for. At the end you have to say something. The risk factors for type 2 diabetes, the risk factors for H1N1, the risk factors for cardiovascular disease, something depending upon your research idea. So biostatistics, coming to particular discipline, that is the term biostatistics. Why called biostatistics? Because we are using this subject in this area, that is in the field of health, clinical medicine or community medicine, public health. Like that, if you use this subject in other disciplines, we have different names. If you use in mathematics, we call mathematical statistics. If you use in economics, we call econometrics. If you use in commerce, we call business statistics. If you use in agriculture, we call agriculture statistics. Like that, if you use military operations, we call operations research. So the term will be different, but the concept, the methods, the principles, the techniques, will be the same. Statistics methods are same. When you use in different areas, we will have different terminologies. So statistics will be used here, that is statistics arising out of biological sciences, particularly from the fields of medicine and public health. The methods, that is the techniques used in dealing with the statistics in these areas, where you organize and conduct the studies, so that you get come out with some clinical valuable conclusions. Coming to the application point of view, in clinical medicine, how we can apply it to document the medical history of the disease? For example, take the medical records. Or you look, any busy practitioner, private, those who have the hospitals, they will make the databases, they will maintain the database of all the patients, planning and conduct of clinical studies, evaluating merits of different procedures. See, medicine is not stopping at one time point. It is moving over a period of time. As the time goes, what is the line of treatment now, it may not be the same after 3 months. What is the surgical procedure now? It may not be the same after 1 year. What is the diagnostic procedure now? It may not be the same. There will be new changes, new interventions will be coming. So you have to evaluate. You have to evaluate what is the existing procedure, new procedure, in comparison with the new procedure. So how to do that? You have to collect the data with the existing procedure, then you collect the data with the new procedure, then you compare it. That's what it means. Evaluating the merits of different procedures in providing the methods for definition of normal abnormal. What do you mean by these terms, normal abnormal? Do you have any idea what will be reported, in the lab report? If you give some samples to the lab for investigation, what you can find, in the report?
Range?
What else? Range means what? Range of what? Range of, any value, any investigation what you are giving, the normal range. And your value, the sample what you give this. From where they come, they come out, with the normal values, normal, abnormal. From where they derive, the range, what you said, the limits. What is the normal systolic blood pressure? Diastolic? Okay. What is the normal BMI value?
20.
Okay, what is for adult, what is the hemoglobin value? Normal value?
20.
Okay. What is the normal weight of a newborn baby?
3
kg.
3? 1.5 kg.
3 and a half? Mm-hmm. Are you sure? 2.5 to 3. So 2.5, in some places, 2.5, it's 3. So from where we got this normal abnormals? What studies? So based on the normal population data, the statisticians have derived these cutoff values, normal limits, not for 1 or 2 what we discuss, we discuss only 4 or 5. There are nearly thousands of the clinical parameters where they categorize as normal abnormal. If you look the lab manual, I didn't remember the reference, you can find for thousands of the clinical parameters, not only human beings, you take the animals, all chemical values, they have categorized normal, abnormal based on this the concept of the distribution, what we call normal distribution, which we will be seeing later. So coming to our area, preventive medicine, So how we can use it, I mean, our techniques, that's best statistical methods. To provide the magnitude of any health problem in the community, we must know what is the burden of illness, I mean, in the community. For example, if you take H1N1 or hepatitis or any, I mean, problems, I mean, in the community, you have to quantify what is the prevalence. To find out the basic factors underlying ill health, why some people are getting affected, why some people are not getting this problem. So even someone is a smoker, he doesn't have any problem. If someone, I mean, if take another contrasting example, if someone is not smoking, he is having a lot of problems. Why this is? What are the factors, I mean, which makes, I mean, to get someone ill health? To evaluate the health programs which was introduced in the community, that is success and failure. We know that, I mean, the Ministry of Health or any organization, they will introduce a lot of, I mean, programs for the benefit of the community. So how to know the success and failure? To get the data before the start of the program, then after some period, when the new program introduced, you get the data, then you compare it. So you must have the data, I mean, both the stages. Then to introduce, I mean, promote health legislation. What do you mean by health legislation?
Policy.
Policy. Or making as a law. Say all the Saudi adults, I mean, both male and female, has to get, I mean, vaccinated for hepatitis. So this is a law. So everyone has to take, I mean, the vaccination. So this is what, I mean, how to do that. Why should, I mean, they make the law? Because they get the information, the data from the community that people are getting, I mean, problems. So to eradicate, to minimize, to prevent, I mean, the problems, I mean, they have to make, I mean, some sort of legislation. Role of biostatistics in health planning and evaluation, as I said, in carrying out, I mean, the valid and reliable health situation analysis, including proper summarization and interpretation of the data, in proper evaluation of achievements and failures, I mean, of the health programs. And in medical research, as you know, you are doing, I mean, small research project on your own, in developing a research design that can minimize the impact, I mean, of uncertainties, in assessing the reliability and validity of the tools and instruments, I mean, to collect the information. How many of you are using the instrument on your own? You know what you mean by instrument?
Tool.
Tool. What is my tool? Again, you say instrument. I will ask again instrument. You say again tool. What it is? Elaborate.
It's something that you use in order to
collect
the data.
Like okay.
Questionnaire.
So you can develop, I mean, on your own the instrument, or you can use the instrument from some other sources. So there are a lot of instruments, I mean, in the literature, depending upon the area what you are looking for. For example, if you take, I mean, psychiatric problem or stress, okay, or anything, I mean, if you have any of these type of problems, I mean, general health problem. So you can take, I mean, WHO, they have developed, I mean, a lot of questionnaires. So you can use that instrument. But if you are developing on your own, you have to check, I mean, the validity and reliability of the instrument. So what can we do with the biostatistics? Basic things, you can summarize the data, you can generalize, I mean, from a sample to the population. As you know that, there is no need to study the whole population. You have to depend, I mean, on a sample. Then once you study the sample, you can generalize the results, I mean, to the whole population. Then you can compare the groups, that is between male and female, or between different age groups. Test the relationship, that is, you are taking the data from one person for two variables. For example, exercise and weight. Is there any relation? Those who do exercise, whether the weight is normal. Relationship between age and blood pressure. As age increasing, blood pressure is increasing. So take one person, two variables. Then you can see the relationship, whether it is a positive relationship or negative relationship. These type of things, I mean, also we can do it. Then analyze the multiple variables. Of course, this is a multivariate analysis. Then they assess time to an event, I mean, as an endpoint. For example, if you are following, I mean, a transplant, heart transplant or kidney transplant, a chronic, I mean, surgery, a severe surgery patient, I mean, you are following, what's happened to over a period of time? Whether they survive or they are dying, or there are any side effects, so you can do, I mean, the survival analysis. Reporting the characteristics, I mean, of a test. This is, you know, the diagnostic procedures. There are a lot of, I mean, procedures to make the diagnosis. There is a gold standard, and there will be new procedures coming into the market. So you have to compare with the gold standard. Can you give any one example where you have the gold standard procedure and again another alternate, I mean, test procedure? Any clinical scenario? heard about the terms, I mean sensitivity, specificity, positive predictive values, negative predictive values, discuss someone, discuss about this?
Mm-hmm.
So, where will get these terminologies? Forget about statistics, I'm talking your area. The diagnostic test evaluation, yeah.
Some of the diseases have two tests or three tests, and one of them is sensitive and one of them is specific. So we have.
When you have two, three, you have to fix one as a gold standard.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give some clinical example? What is the gold standard to make diagnosis for tuberculosis? Yes. So what is the gold standard? What is, other alternate procedure?
But maybe the gold standard is acid fast vessel line culture.
Okay. And alternate, what you can do? Whether that is costly?
Tuberculosis.
Yeah. See? So this is what I want. So now you can see, how sensitive it is. Can you give some other example? You have some other example? Yes.
For diagnosing diabetes.
Uh-huh.
The gold standard test is fast blood panels. And then there's randomized blood glucose is sensitive.
Now what is the alternate test?
On the blood glucose.
We have to fix one gold standard. One is alternate. Then only we can see that whether this alternate test is a sensitive or not. What about HIV AIDS? Of course, this is not a problem here. If you look at the other countries, African countries, the daily lot of people are dying because of that. So what is the gold standard for that?
ELISA test.
ELISA is a screening test. Gold standard. Gold standard is a Western blot, which you have to take, the PCR. PCR, you have to take, send the lab, to the blood sample. It will take 1 week time. It will consume the money. It will consume the time. So you can't use, Western blot for all these samples affected people by HIV and AIDS. So in the community, you can use the screening test as ELISA. Then those who get positive, then you can get the confirmatory test, by gold standard. So you can compare Western blot and with ELISA, how sensitive it is. So that what we get the sensitivity, specificity, positive predictive value, negative predictive values, all the statistics. So that what it means. Combining, reporting the characteristics of a test, new test in comparison with the gold standard, combining the results of several studies. This is what we call, meta-analysis. You do, next year you'll be doing some exercise, evidence-based medicine. There you have to do a critical appraisal of a systematic review. Heard about the systematic reviews? That's what the workshop is going on from our department, that is evidence-based chair. So evidence-based medicine is you are looking, the best evidence, from the literature. So you have to do the primary search and secondary search and get, appropriate articles relevant, to your specialty. Then you critically appraise it. So this is what, where you have the systematic reviews dealing with meta-analysis. So you include, different studies to get, one bigger effect size. So there also we can use, gold statistical technique. Assessing cost and consequence of the treatment. This is nowadays people are looking for to minimize the cost. At the same time, give the better treatment. Not expensive. So it is, you have to optimize, the cost and give the better treatment. This is what you call, cost-effective analysis. There also we can use the biostatistics and techniques. Report, the decision analysis and clinical practice guidelines. For any clinical medicine scenario, there are guidelines. If you take, the asthma, there are guidelines, how to treat, asthma patients. The Saudi Society of Asthma here, they framed, the guidelines. So based on what? Based on the data. They come out, with some sort of, information so that to frame the guidelines. So that it will be useful for the clinicians, to make, proper diagnosis. Okay, why I have spent, nearly 15 minutes, to tell all these areas? Just to stimulate you to get, interest, in biostatistics. It is not just like that, do something, get some significance and throw it. Now, it is very useful, you believe it or not, your seniors and seniors, those who didn't show interest in these classes, particularly in my sessions, to be frank with you, they came after 2 years when they are interns, I mean they are going for postgraduate, USMLE, all these things. They came and they realized, now only we are finding the importance, I mean, of this subject. Now can you take, I mean, sessions, I mean, for us? Can you give some materials? Can you give some tips, I mean, how to write the exam? I have lively examples. I mean, they are here and they are still in the campus. And of course, I mean, I am helping them, I mean, whenever the possible things. So this is the opportunity for you to try to understand. Not, I mean, even completely. I won't say that, I mean, you can understand, I mean, each and everything. But try to give the importance, try to gain, I mean, some knowledge about these concepts. And it will be a continuing process. It is not like that you are learning now, you are writing the exam, you are finishing the course now. It will be all these concepts, I mean, research methodology and best steps, it will be hunting you. It will be hunting you throughout your career. Now you come and see evidence-based medicine, I mean, there are senior faculty members. They are coming and learning now, I mean, all the best statistics. They want to know because they have to produce the research articles. If they won't produce research articles, they won't get promotions. So they will stack as assistant professor or associate, I mean, they can't go, I mean, to the ladder. So they have to do research. Now you know in the Kings of the University, the phenomena is of research activity. Everywhere research. Everyone talking about researchers, publications, and our university rector, I mean, he wants to improve the standards of this university by improving the quality of research. So, alhamdulillah, we made a lot of progress. I mean, it has jumped, I mean, 3 years back what it was, and now it is completely different. Everyone, I mean, doing research. Now, why I am saying is, by the time you finish your undergraduate, okay, you will be knowing, I mean, more importance, I mean, about this whole subject. That is your research methodology, epidemiology and birth statistics, what you are learning. Okay, coming back to the basic concepts what I am starting here, we always deal with data. What is data? Data is a set of values of one or more variables recorded on one or more observed, I mean, units. This is plural. What is singular?
Data.
You know what you mean by singular, plural? Singular is white, I mean, plural is? Yes. Okay. So now the sources of the data. What are the different sources of the data? Routinely kept records, surveys, that is census, population census, experiments, and from the external sources. So you can broadly classify the categories of the data, primary data, secondary data. Primary data is you are collecting on your own. So that is by observation or questionnaire or record form, I mean interviews and surveys. Secondary data is from the census, already population census data is there. If you go to statistics department website in Kingdom here, you can find, I mean, lot of information about your Kingdom population, about the age structure, gender structure, the economic conditions, I mean, how many persons are there in each family, every information you can get from their website. So this is the secondary source. You are taking from someone who already collected the data. And medical records. You can go to the each hospital, there are medical records database. You can go and dig, I mean, even 10 years back, I mean, what are the patients, I mean, who got admitted in a particular ward and their outcome you can get. And registry. What do you mean by registry? What are the different registries here in Kingdom?
National Cancer Registry.
Cancer Registry. And what else? There's a kidney transplant registry is there. I don't know the exact name.
But you mean that people who get the problem, their name is already...
Yes, it's already recorded there. Mm-hmm. Registry, for example, those who have, I mean, kidney failure, those who have transplant, all the database is here. So you can go and take, I mean, that data, those who had transplant, I mean, whether they survived, I mean, what are the complications, what type of patients had transplant, I mean, everything, I mean, we can do research. So you can take, I mean, the data from secondary sources such as medical records and registry. Variables and the type of the data. What do you mean by variable? The characteristics which varies from one individual to other individual. My height is different than his height. My weight is different than his weight. Like that, when you take, I mean, 100 patients, the characteristics of 100 patients will differ, I mean, among themselves. So that's what it called variable. Variable is nothing. The characteristics, it varies from one person to other person. So that's what, I mean, the definitions here is the characteristic or attribute that can assume different values. Is also the characteristics of interest, one that can be expressed as a number that possessed by each item under the study. The value of this is likely to change or vary from one item in the data set, I mean, to the next. What is random variable? What do you mean by random? In statistics, we use, I mean, this word very often, random variable. What do you mean by random? We already discussed about simple random sampling techniques. So many things, I mean, we already come across. What do you mean by random? Just the meaning of random term.
Not in the order.
What is the appropriate word we can use?
Without intention.
Chance.
By chance.
Probability. Chance, probability, random. All these things are, I mean, we can substitute, we can play around with this. Okay? So can you give example of any random variable? Can you assess exactly the weight of a newborn baby before delivery?
The mother's.
You can approximately, you can say that.
Before birth.
Now if you go to OB-GYN ward, there are a lot of pregnant women. Before delivery, can you assess exactly the weight of a baby?
The woman weighed before she got pregnant.
I am asking a simple question, straightforward question I am asking.
No.
Weight of a newborn baby before birth.
No.
Before birth. I am telling exactly the right now, if you go to ward, there will be a lot of pregnant women who are about to deliver, maybe next half an hour, 15 minutes. Can we make assessment that the weight of this baby will be coming out on next 10 minutes will be 3 kilos, 3.5 kilos? I am asking you. Can we make? I'm asking you.
I don't know.
You don't know. Okay, that's good. So this is random. So we can't say. It will be 2 kilos, it will be 2.5, or it will be 3.2. So it varies. So we can't exactly say, what will be the weight of a newborn baby. So variables can be classified as quantitative and qualitative. And these variables has to be measured. There is a scale. For any measurement, there will be a scale. For variables also, there are 4 scales. What are the scales are? Nominal scale, ordinal scale, interval scale, and ratio scale. Both nominal and ordinal comes in the qualitative, and interval and ratio comes in the quantitative. So you can see, this is the scales of measurement. If you look, the broad classification, the data can be classified as a qualitative and quantitative. In qualitative, you can have, numerical or non-numerical. Again, this classification we give in nominal and ordinal, whereas here quantitative, only numerical, interval and ratio. These are the scales. These are the 4 scales. Nominal scale, ordinal scale, interval scale, and ratio scale. What do you mean by qualitative?
Cannot be
description.
Description. What do you mean by quantitative?
Numbers.
You can measure it. You can measure it. So here we will see all these things, with examples. First, go to the nominal variable or nominal scale. What it is? Variable consists of named categories with no implied order among them. Male and female. Exam result, pass and fail. Okay? You take electric switch. There are only 2 operations. On and off, yes or no. All these things just names. Can you give some other example for nominal variable or nominal scale?
Infection or infection.
Okay, still.
Races between the
world. Race, okay. Color of skin, blood group, A, B, O, okay, A plus, B plus. So these are, just you're giving some sort of names. So nominal is the variables, which will have some names, but not numerical values. If you code them, you can give the coding in the data collection. 1 stand for male, 2 stand for female. So this is non-numerical. Here it is, you're putting, some sort of coding. Both are nominal scale and both called, nominal variables. What about ordinal variable? Ordinal variable consists, of some sort of ordered categories.
Stages.
Patient, status. Improved, same, worse. Diagnosis, stage 1, stage 2, stage 3, like this. Then you can give the coding. So for this, you give improved 2, same as 1, worse as 0. Can you give some other example for ordinal data?
Glasgow scale of consciousness.
Okay.
Stage 1 for cancer.
Cancer, okay.
the New York scale for investments.
Just the basic characteristics. What about income? Low income, middle income, high income?
Chronicity, death.
What about education status?
Yes.
Illiterate? Illiterate, elementary school, high school, or college, university, professional. So there is some sort of order. No stress, moderate stress, severe stress. So we are able to distinguish between nominal and ordinal. Mm-hmm. So ordinal is there are set of ordered categories. Mm-hmm. Okay, the next classification is interval variable or interval scale. Mm-hmm. In the interval scale, the only clue is zero is arbitrary. Zero is not fixed. Look the example here. Variable has equal distances between values, but zero point is arbitrary. That is IQ 70 to 80 is same as IQ 90 to 100. If you change the scale from 100 to 500, it will have the same meaning. Okay, take the another example. If you are not clear, what about the temperature? Temperature starts only from zero, or there will be minus values also will be there.
Minus.
Yeah. If you go to European countries now, it is minus 5, minus 7. Okay? Minus 5, minus 6, minus 7 doesn't mean that there is no heat. Agree with me?
Yes.
There is some heat. So, zero is here, zero value, numerical value is not fixed. For example, if I put some IQ test in this class, okay, IQ for these two your friends. His IQ is 100, his IQ is 50. Doesn't mean that he is intelligent than his friend. No. Are you getting the point? Yeah. So the next is, it's opposite. Ratio variable, it will have, equal intervals between values and a meaningful zero point. Who is a heavier person in this class now? Yes, I can see two there. Okay, don't want. Okay, yes. What's your weight?
130.
What? 130. Who is very lean here? Yes, yourself. Yes, what's your weight?
48.
You are 48? Okay. So he is? His weight is 48 kilos. His weight is 48 kilos. He is 130. So he is nearly more than, three times heavier than, his weight. This is called, ratio scale. Are you getting? So that's the basic difference between interval and ratio. Who is taller here? Who is tall? Who is tall? Yes. Can you stand up? MashaAllah. What's your height?
187.
Okay. Next to you. Thanks. Can you stand up? Yeah. I think he's not that much short. Who is short? Okay. Let's determine he is short. So he is twice, taller than, his friend. So this is what we call, ratio scale. This, we can't make it, in the interval data. So another clue here is, whether weight starts, less than zero, it's meaningless. Whether age starts, less than zero, it is meaningless. So age starts, if you go to the newborn, again to the same, what the example I told, we can count the age of a newborn baby starting from seconds. Seconds, minutes, hours, days, weeks, like this it goes. So it starts, after zero. So zero is a fixed.
What about IQ?
So IQ the same thing.
Not
IQ.
Zero, okay.
Sometimes you have the negative markings here. So IQ in India we have some exams to screen the students. They give the negative markings. Some students in the exam they will get minus 20, and some will get zero. Because India is a very highly populated country and there are jobs are very less. And to get the medicine seat, it is very difficult, in India. there are a lot of screening exams. Only the top cream will get, the top who are very intelligent, they will get, the government seat, free seat. Otherwise, you have to pay a huge amount to go to the private colleges. So, why I am saying is, there are some exams where you have the negative markings. So, zero is again arbitrary. That's a good question. So, now to distinguish, both are quantitative. Remember, interval data and ratio data, both are quantitative. Whereas interval data examples, you can give only the IQ and the temperature. There are no other examples will fit. Whereas ratio data, all variables, we can put. Age, height, weight, anything. All variables, we can put, the ratio scale. Okay, put together, you have all, everything here, nominal level data, ordinal, interval data, the definition, and with examples in one slide, you can go through later. Okay, there is another terminology, what we call, discrete data and continuous data. What do you mean by discrete?
Accurate, very clear.
Very clear, accurate.
Yes. Specified, clear limits.
How many family members in your at your home?
Seven.
Six. Why six?
Six.
You're not sure?
Three, right?
What?
Nine. Me?
Yeah.
18.
Sure. What about you, the corner? How many members in your family?
Hello.
So okay.
Nine.
Okay, no one is saying 6.8, no one is saying 18.2, so this is the whole number. So this is the whole number. If you go to particular ward, in a week, data if you look, 10 patients admitted, 20 patients admitted, like that, the clinicians, they register, they will discuss, while coming for lunch there, how many patients we have today, this. No one will say a fraction, 40.8, 40.8, this is the whole number. What about the pulse rate? Pulse rate again? The whole number. So this is the discrete data. There will be no continuity. But it is quantitative. What about continuous data? So this is, number of children. We can give the example, hemoglobin. If I want to take, your BMI, I can take in decimals. Say his BMI is 28.9. Then, 30.2. So I am taking, continuously. So this is on a continuous scale. So there are no gaps. If you want to maintain, I can maintain, 3 decimals, 2 decimals, that's no problem. So this is the basic difference, between discrete data and continuous. Again, both are quantitative. Discrete data and quantitative data, continuous data, both are quantitative. It's not, qualitative. Okay, the question is, can we convert quantitative data into qualitative data?
To what range, for example, people with the blood pressure from 160 to 180, we can...
So we can make the categories. We can make the categories. If you collect the data, as it is, you can look the example here. Continuous data means, it is a quantitative data. We can convert into qualitative data, that is weight in kilos can be made into underweight, normal and overweight. Height in centimeters can be made into short, medium and tall. So we can play around, with the data. You can take, a hemoglobin values. You can categorize as anemic and normal, something like that. So like that, depending upon the situation, you can do it. What about the opposite?
No.
Qualitative data can be made into quantitative?
No.
Sure?
Yes, sure.
Someone say yes, someone say no?
Maybe.
Yes. For example, an Indian person we can say that IQ above 150, for example.
No, I have collected data, someone's systolic blood pressure is abnormal. In my record is showing that X, patient X, systolic blood pressure is abnormal. Can I convert, that abnormal value into quantitative value?
Yes, maybe, but it won't be accurate.
It may not be accurate.
I would say that
in the range, you know.
You want to put in the range, it's not accurate. Yes, you can't do it. But there are some examples, clinical examples, where qualitative data can be made into quantitative. Any idea? Look this. This is what we call, I mean, in the terminology, clinical metrics, clinimetrics, sorry. This is disturbing me, okay. Clinimetrics, that is a science called clinimetrics, in which qualities are converted to meaningful quantities by using the scoring system. So the examples, Apgar score for neonatal prognosis. What is Apgar? A stand for appearance, P for pulse, G for grimace, A for activity, R for respiration for a newborn baby. So they will assess something on these 4-5 factors. They will have some sort of score and they will get the total score. So the total score is, it's a quantitative. What we get, I mean, in the beginning is a qualitative. What about this? Apache. Acute physiology and chronic health evaluation score to quantify the severity of condition of a patient. What about GCS? Glasgow Coma Scale. You have in the emergency department, I mean, lot of accident cases. Brain, death cases. They will put on ventilators. How they will assess, I mean, a neurosurgeon or a neurophysician, how they will assess the condition of the patient? On GCS scale. Glasgow Coma Scale. So they will see the response of the patient, whether his body is moving, whether his eyes are, I mean, open, I mean, all these things. So they have some sort of scoring system.
Yeah.
Forget about this. This is going above our level. What about the stress?
As for example, Disney can be classified. Whether it's with the high exercise, with moderate exercise, with low exercise, with rest. This is a type of...
Yes. What about stress? If you want to assess, I mean, the stress in a particular community or, I mean, in medical students, there are some instruments. How we can say that, I mean, he is under stress? There are 20-30 questions. There are different instruments. So the questions will be how? The first question will be, how often you get, I mean, angry? Or the statement will be, you get angry every time, always in a day, strongly agree, disagree. This is what type of data it is, what type of variable it is? Qualitative, ordinal. So if you have 20 questions, then you get the responses for these 20 questions and his score is 10 out of 20. So he is under moderate stress. What I am doing again? This total score, again I am classifying into 3 categories. What are the categories? No stress, moderate stress, severe stress. So he comes under moderate stress. Take my case, I am not of stress. My score is 18 out of 20. I get irritated very often, I get angry, I get frequent headache. So, I am more prone for stress. So, my score is 18 out of 20. So, where I am falling? I am falling under severe stress. So, what we are doing here, qualitative data converted into quantitative. Again, quantitative data converting into qualitative. You are understanding the concept? So, we can play around, I mean, with the data what we collect, I mean, how you want to make the interpretation. So this is what, I mean, the cleaning matrix, you can convert, I mean, your qualitative data into quantitative by using the scoring system. I will stop here because I have a 2 o'clock session. So I will be continuing, I mean, the next week, inshallah. So just someone remember where I am stopping. So we are stopping at this slide. Attendance finish. I already circulated. Where it is? Finish. Thank you.
والله كيف بنقدر بس ها ليس انا قاعد انا والله هذا الموضوع شنو هذا اي تحط نزلها في زليده هناك بس المذكره شو هذا والله كويس كنت والله قريت مقارنه شاء الله شفتها ما شاء الله
عبدك وصل حالك طيب.
بتاخذ المبادرة.